I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. OTB Nation, welcome in to episode number 281 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, viewable on YouTube, and now on TikTok, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB, it's Deej. I am back from Ohio. We waited a little bit longer to record this week because we said, why are we going to record before the gold medal game, before the bronze medal game, and then have to talk about that all next week on top of the PLL being back next week? So we waited a little bit, so it's a little bit longer for you to wait, but hey, that's what we're here for. We're making it happen. So we're going to talk all about the World Lacrosse Championship. We're going to talk all about the All-Star Game coming up for the PLL as well. We're going to dive into that since we haven't touched on that whatsoever outside of learning what the venue name and venue location was when it was announced. And we got a Squire Sixes because it's Squire Sixes season, which if you're new to the show, that's basically like our tier ranking, our draft, you know, the typical podcast trope thing, all inspired by our guy, Colin Squires, who likes to rank airlines. So we were inspired by that, and we're going to make it happen. So easy, simple episode for the people in kind of a just otherwise like simple week of lacrosse going into your holiday week as well. But before we get started, make sure you guys are following us at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, so long as it's around. I know we weren't like too active the past couple days on Twitter just because Elon decided to limit things. So didn't want to like do stuff and then people not see it. So that's why you got to come listen to the podcast. Follow us Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at OTB LaxPod. We've got some things planned for the TikTok that you'll want to follow us there to stay in the loop on what some of our plans are over there. We're plotting and scheming on the TikTok. All of our podcasts are on there now. So go follow us there at OTB LaxPod. Run that Instagram up too. Deej, we are closing in on the OTB Instagram being at as many followers as the main Instagram. We're at 399 followers on OTB's Instagram. Pretty sweet. Shout out to TLN again for tagging us in that Tom Brady post. That boosted our Instagram following almost double. But yeah, go follow us on the socials. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_nextgreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. You can follow me on TikTok at KBUnderground. You can follow me on Instagram at KBIZZLE11. Subscribe to the podcast, though, first and foremost. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave that 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way for helping more people find OTB, helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia, and takes this podcast to the next level of where we're trying to take it. So go subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend. Trying to get to even more Spotify followers as well. Have some tactics there. That we're going to, you know, try to boost the Spotify following a bit because we do get those analytics fed to us, which is nice. So go follow, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That is like A1. That's where all the video content goes down from our entire company, including full video episodes of OTB that don't get deleted by dead batteries. We're at 516 subscribers right now, trying to get to 600 by the end of July, trying to get to 1,000 sooner. Let's put this out there. This is a goal for OTB. Ready for this, Deej? Because I just thought of this off the top of my head. We need to get to 1,000 subscribers before the end of the regular season of the PLL. I think it's doable. Before the playoffs hit, that's September 4th. That's your birthday. Before your birthday, we need to get to 1,000 subscribers.
That would be an amazing birthday gift.
You have two months, give or take.
For no other reason, do it for my birthday.
We need to get to 1,000 subscribers before DJ's birthday, or something is going to happen. And it's not going to be good.
I agree.
So
let's rock with that.
Get us there. We're working on some very fun stuff that if you stick around later in the episode, you'll hear some cool stuff that we're working on. Go subscribe. Leave a comment. Leave a like. Smash the bell icon so that you don't miss any of our videos. And if it's video content, it's going on our Instagram or on our YouTube channel. So go subscribe. Be a friend. Tell a friend. And go get your merch. You want to support us directly, financially? Get your merch, phiapparel.co. There's no doubt in our minds you will stand out in the crowd when you get your OTB merch. Deej and I were just talking before we started recording. We're working on a new merch capsule for all of our pods. I think a lot of people are going to like it. I'm stumbling upon some of the old merch designs that we had on our old merch websites that I'm going to submit to our awesome friends at PHI Apparel Company. I know a lot of fans are a fan of the lacrosse boxing gloves logo that we have, the ding ding. That might be coming back. I know a lot of fans were big Chef Rambo shirt fans, including, you know, maybe the head coach of the University of Maryland. He's a big fan of that design. Might be bringing that back.
Not a big fan of handshakes.
But he's a fan of our merch, and that's what counts, baby. Hey, I'll adopt fist bumps only if it means we've got coaches buying merch.
I mean, he didn't even do a fist bump. He was just mad he got beat.
Valid, but I'll adopt no handshakes if it means coaches are rocking our merch. And you can do the same when you go to phiapparel.co. Use code underground. You get 10% off any and all merch orders. That's how they know you're coming from us. You get a nice little discount. You're supporting your favorite podcast. And it goes a long way for helping Deej and I continue to do the awesome stuff that we're trying to pull off. So go get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off your order. What's popping, coach of the year, Deej?
Yeah, that's me, man.
Let's fucking go.
Southwest Michigan Lacrosse League's coach of the year. Well, conference coach of the year.
Deej by Southwest.
Yeah, stop it. No, but it's been awesome, man. Getting my assistant coach, who I played with in high school back when I got started, back on the program. And just the work we've put in has been paying off a little bit at a time. And, I mean, for me, it pays off every day. Just, you know, spending a couple hours with my players and watching them fall in love with the game and teaching them the game and seeing kids score their first goal or watching the game unlock. For kids, like, that's probably the best thing as a coach is you can see the game. You can see that switch flip for kids when they finally understand what you've been trying to tell them and how it makes the game easier. And they start to act instinctively. Like, it just makes you feel so good. And like, they were starting to do that. Other coaches in the conference realized that and they wanted to celebrate us for it. So I gladly accepted the award. And fought back tears in the process. It was emotional, but it's exciting, man. I'm happy not only that my team is trending in the right direction, but lacrosse is trending in the right direction in Southwest Michigan, Michigan as a whole, the Midwest, the country, the world. It's continuing to grow. And for a sport that I love so much to be on this upward trend, I'm only excited to be along for the ride.
What other podcast in the lacrosse space has a coach of the motherfucking year co-hosting theirs? None of them.
Us.
Let's go,
Not even Jordy.
Shout out to the boy.
And he was a state champ runner up.
Yeah, shout out to the boy. But he's coach of the year?
But he was not coach of the year. Liam, shout out to the boy.
Shout out to the boy.
But he was not coach of the year. I was, though.
You, Kurt Miloski, to be determined, coaches of the year, 2023.
Hey, there's a reason. I'm a roughneck.
We're making that graphic. As soon as the PLL Coach of the Year gets announced, 2023 Coaches of the Year.
Hey, that's going to be the thing that blows us up. Seeing my face next to those guys. It'll be like, what is this? It's going to be
Kurt, like, looking on, like, stern as hell, like he always is.
I can get you a picture of me.
If the season ended today, I would assume it would be AT because they're in first place. It's AT just, like, yelling with his shirt off.
I can get you a picture of me coaching for sure.
And then you right in the middle. Mean mugging. Tomahawk shades on and all. That's going to be incredible. Dude, imagine if we were able to pull off a photo together with the three.
Oh, legendary.
Electric.
Legendary. We'd all have to sign it. Only because I don't know if I'm going to ever win Coach of the Year again. They got real good chances. Me, I don't know.
You're like the Joe Flacco of Coaches of the Year.
Hey, I did it, though.
You did it, just like Joe Flacco did.
How many people can say they're Coach of the Year? That is a select thing. I can't.
Talk to
him. I mean, honestly, that's how Dan Orlovsky has to start thinking about stepping out of the back of the end zone. Only him and a handful of people can say they've done that in the NFL game.
speaking of that. I know you're not going to be at Fairfield this year.
Great segue. But yeah,
I tweeted this. Dan Orlovsky is going to be on the broadcast for the halftime, like.
Mini Tykes, yeah.
Mini, you know, Tykes on turf type situation. Speaking to our PLL confidants here, can I sit down with Dan Orlovsky, do it for the people, and get Dan on the podcast? While at Fairfield for the Pete, like this is strictly like Barbara Walters type shit on my journalistic grind. Let us get Dan Orlovsky on the podcast.
That would be
Dan Orlovsky promised the main pod back in 2020, 2021 when he was going to bat for Carson Wentz. Look how that turned out. That he would come on our show. He said, let's do it, and went radio silent. Dan, you kind of owe us. I'm just saying. Let's do it in person, in Fairfield. I have a dummy battery now, so cameras won't die.
I'll be coaching, so I won't be in the way.
I'll FaceTime you.
Yes. 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 I like that idea a lot.
Dan Orlovsky, this is for you. I'll see you in Fairfield like I did last year. Come on the pod. Speaking of former NFL players, too, did you see how horrendously down bad Adam Pac-Man Jones was when he lost that bet, when he placed a ridiculous bet on Atlas when they were, like, favored so heavy? He placed a $3,500 wager on Atlas to win $1,000 at the beginning of that Water Dogs game in Ohio. Horrifically down bad, but then made all his money back when Cannons won.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Dying. RJ tweeted that video and I was screaming.
Dude, that stuff is so good for the sport, man. I'm so excited. I'm just, it's trending in all of the right directions.
It was
man.
So funny.
It's so, ugh, just like us, man. We're continuing to trend in the right direction. And getting Dan on is one step closer.
Yeah, 100%. Shall we dive into the 2023 World Lacrosse Men's Championship? There you go, people. I'm not as exhausted anymore. I've actually slept in my own bed recently. So there you go. Team USA takes home the gold. 10-7 over Canada. T's and P's to the Chaos Boys, who were torn at the seams on who to root for in this game. Mikey Sowers finishing the job, the Philly boy.
The Water Dogs fans were a little. Redwoods fans were a little. I think even Archers fans.
Chaos fans are not special anymore.
Not really.
I hate to break it to you. You're not alone anymore. The Sorry, league caught on. It said, sign Canadians. Sign them. It makes your team better.
And I really hope we don't have to have the why is Connor Fields playing with Canada question again. Glad we got that out of the way. Basic knowledge now. His mom's Canadian. He got dual citizenship. We good here.
A lot of these dudes do. That's why, like, Eli was on Haudenosaunee instead of Canada because he has dual citizenship. There was somebody else, too. I forget who. I mean, that's why you see, like, Matt DeLuca playing for Italy and why you see Christian Scarpello playing for England. Who's it? Zach Cole was playing for Italy, too, I think, or England.
Yep. No, he's playing for Italy.
Okay.
You're right.
And like Piatelli was playing for Italy. Piatelli, I mean, that was this John Piatelli.
Like
that boy has it in the blood, baby.
In the blood.
DeLuca in the blood. You would have thought Christian Scarpello.
Yeah. I mean, hey, maybe I need to just do a 23andMe. I might be able to play on that Ugandan team. I don't necessarily know where quite I'm from in the African realm. But if it happens to be Uganda, I'm sure I can make the squad. I'd be down for it. That'd be a lot
there
of
was,
fun.
There was a number of people that it was like very like wild to actually see them playing in the World Lacrosse Men's Championship. Shout out to the homie Jake Malasek playing for the Czech Republic as their goalie, no less. Social media for Barstool by day, Czech Republic national goalie by night.
And the homie from PLL.
Yeah.
What's his name? Edmund?
Playing for Hong Kong, right?
Yeah.
And then homie that listens to the pod was the Denmark goalie.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of like your really ordinary cool. people, you know, the people doing your typical day jobs and stuff, holding it down.
Yeah. Like I'm pumped, man. It was exciting. And a lot of people were really like, that's the cool thing about like world games, world championships, and these things for all sports, not even just lacrosse. Like even when you get the guys that aren't quote unquote the best in the world, like they go so hard for their country that you get good competition. Or like even in the blowouts, you're like, it's worth watching because you're watching someone just give their all because of, you know, what they're representing. Like it's just so awesome the way sports bring people together just because they want to show like that their country is worth something. And I just think it's so awesome that some of the new countries getting in and being able to show that like they've been working on their lacrosse skills and that their country is a part of this game and wants to grow with it and learn how to play more. And I mean, even some of the countries that were already involved making huge jumps, you know, and really putting in progress over the summer and in the off years, you can see that they were really taking the time to be like, yo, lacrosse is something we care about. We want to play a lot. We want to get better. And then, you know, they made huge jumps in this games. And I would assume a lot of these teams are going to make jumps again in the next games in 3 years. Because I think they're resetting back to the original.
I mean, look at like four teams off the top of my head that like you saw them all over the place. Jamaica, Japan, Mexico, Puerto Rico. Like,
and I think Poland made a huge jump this year. Yeah.
Like Mexico made the biggest jump, I think, of any team. I think they went up 22 spots from 2018.
And Poland was some like 17 or something like that. Like
Jamaica was a bunch of dogs. Like they were full-fledged, like we belong here. Puerto Rico was very impressive. Obviously headlined with the boy Russell Melendez, all name team. Japan, I mean, you look at the strides Japan has made just as a culture in lacrosse and seeing the PLL be so involved with like going over there in 2019 and then this past off season and seeing like how they've adopted lacrosse so quickly as like not an alternative per se, because obviously like baseball still is a supreme sport in Japan, but like they have truly adopted lacrosse as like a national sport that like so many young kids over there are going to adopt and are going to continue to adopt, I think.
Well, that's the crazy thing is you're not allowed to as a young kid over there. They were mentioning that multiple times throughout the broadcast that you're not allowed to play until like high school or like post high school. It's like one of the two, but like you're not allowed to play as a kid. So like that makes the growth that they're having even that more impressive because it's almost like instantaneous. Like they're picking up a stick and within a few years, they know how to do all these things and compete at a high level. Like they just bumped up to Pool A. Mm-hmm. Like next year, you know, the next games, they're going to be playing against Australia, Haudenosaunee, Canada, and America. Like they're playing the best of the best competition.
Deservedly so, like, too.
Yeah, because they've just balled out. So it's like, it goes to show that this is a game that doesn't take much more than effort to be good.
Do they say effort why they're not allowed to play until high school?
I don't know. They were just, okay. Like, just
I didn't know if they like gave a reason or.
I wish they would have given like more of a reason.
I wonder if this will change anything.
It's just not one of those sports that like they're allowed to play before that time.
I wonder if like the success that the national team had will like change anything potentially. Not saying like immediately, but like
I hope so.
Kind of like
they're only going to get better,
almost. You know?
Yeah, they're only going to get better.
Oh, like we're a top five team in the world now. Maybe we should start to develop a little bit earlier and see how much better we can get. Like, can we be top four? Can we be top three at some point? And like pull upsets over a Haudenosaunee, over a Team Canada, you know, go toe-to-toe with the USA in a championship game down the line if we continue developing talent. I think Japan's progress as a whole was so impressive, and, you know, I think part of that is credited to, like, their partnership with the PLL and, you know, having that competition go on in 2019 and then this past year as well, where it really has put a spotlight in their country on how the sport can be you know, picked up as quickly as it has over there and it be an alternative for a lot of people, you know, to be something that they aspire to do. And I'm going to put a hot take out there. I think in the next 5 years, we could have the first full-fledged professional Japanese lacrosse player, if not sooner. With the way that they're progressing and the way that, like, the sport as a whole is progressing, it wouldn't surprise me. Like, am I saying it's a guarantee? No. But would it surprise me if, you know, in the next 5 years, we get the first, you know, professional Japanese lacrosse player in the PLL? It would not surprise me at all.
We would have to see someone take that chance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They just have to come over here and be like, I'm just going to take my chance at a training camp and, you know, like that kind of thing. But other than that, I think it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's got to get to the point where they play younger. And then mm-hmm. Because you see in other sports, the Japanese kids will come over and play in college, or they'll try and come over early, play high school, then go to college. Like, once Japanese kids start to do that with lacrosse is when we'll see it become.
It'll be real interesting, too, because you know how they have, like, the Japanese baseball league and everything. If the Japanese lacrosse league forms, and then it's in a similar way, like how guys get posted, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to negotiate with this team to come over and play in the PLL or even the NLL, like come over and play professionally after playing professionally in Japan, and like how that could potentially count as like professional service time and then like all that kind of stuff. That's an interesting aspect that, like, I think after this year with the World Championship will get talked about more. Just in like this kind of format, you know, on a podcast, spitballing hypotheticals and stuff like that. But it would be interesting if like Japan ends up, you know, forming its kind of own professional league in a sense, similar to like Japanese baseball and stuff like that. And then that evolves into, oh, like, hey, we have international free agents coming into the PLL.
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. I think it's definitely trending in the right direction, not only in Japan, but in, you know, other countries as well. It's just got to continue to gain traction. Sixes is definitely going to help with that. World Games, World Championships, Olympics, as long as we get in. Like, all of these are just stepping stones in growing the game in a positive manner. So I couldn't be more happy after watching the product we got for the last 10 days.
Got to give props to Team Jamaica. They full-fledged belonged where they were. They played like a top dog team the entire tournament. And I think really made a name for themselves, even more so than they have in the past, to really showcase and spotlight their growth as well. Very similar to Japan. Anywhere you turn social media wise, Team Jamaica was in your face if you're following anything remotely close to lacrosse. They were very impressive. They were very fun. And I think that's a team that has a lot of guys that I would also love, you know, to see potentially one day professionally.
Yeah. I mean, they were one of those teams that was just fun to watch with the energy and the effort they gave. How they celebrated each other, how happy they were to be out there playing, and just the value that they gave the game of lacrosse and the value that they hold lacrosse to. Like, they think lacrosse is so valuable, which it is, but, you know, you can kind of see in the way people play how valuable it is to some people versus others. And they had a lot of value for the game of lacrosse, and they just made it fun. They were exciting to watch. They had some of the best jerseys throughout the tournament, in my opinion. Just especially with the way you're able to mismatch those colors. They kind of all go together very, very well. And they did some mixed match. And I just thought they went out with swagger. They played hard, and they proved why they were a really good team. It's just one of those. I don't want to say it wasn't necessarily a Cinderella story, but it's one of those stories that, like, draws in the average fan, because it's not the cream of the crop pool A team that's like really good that's supposed to play like this. It's, you know, I think they were in pool C this year, and people are just like, oh, there's, you know, this pool C team, they, you know, dominated their pool and then went on and they get an upset in the first round. Like, people want to see that kind of stuff, and that's going to make them want to tune in to more games versus if they had lost to Canada in the first round, it would be a very different result, I feel, for some people. because they're like, oh, like, yeah, they were good in their pool against not so good talent. Mm-hmm. And they go and play a good team and this is what you get. So I think Jamaica did a really good job at just putting out a really good product for an average fan to have stumbled across.
Going back to like the Japanese baseball league and like the way baseball approaches like international free agents, do you think this is obviously like a way, way, way down the line thing, but it popped in my head. Do you think the PLL could ever have like, you know, similar to soccer and similar to baseball, like the international like academies where you sign a kid, he's like 16 years old and he goes and like trains and plays at the academy and playing against other, you know, international academies for, you know, growth and development and everything. And then it's like, oh, we have this kid. This would obviously entail like a minor league system at some point and everything. But do you think that would be possible?
Maybe that is the minor league.
That too.
But and it would just depend on how many countries
mm-hmm.
are going to put in the time and resources for youth lacrosse so that there are players and academies available to invest into. But if that's going to happen, I don't see why.
Because I'm even like looking at just like some of the teams that we had in the World Lacrosse Championship here. Like you could have that with Japan. You could have it with Jamaica. You could have it with Puerto Rico, Mexico, anywhere in Europe, pretty much.
Probably Ireland.
Ireland for sure. Australia. That's something that's interesting that I'd like to pick one Mike Rabel's brain about.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be down for it. Absolutely.
I think it's an interesting wrinkle to like player development and like the emphasis on player development where it's not just from the college ranks either.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that there's like a salary cap and everything in the PLL and trying to pick your best talent and, you know, how crucial I think we both can agree that player development is going to be moving forward with how fast and how talented, you know, guys just out of the college game are going to be.
And that's part of helping the league grow is having foreign talent and just being an international league. The more countries that can tune in or have potential of tuning in because their athletes are there, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find ways to get countries involved, like, you know, international academies and such, I think you should go for it because it's only going to get you to your proposed goal at some point.
And then you just make that almost a subsidiary of the existing PLL Academy brand that you have already. But then it just goes international. Sound off in the YouTube comment section if you'd like to see that or if you think it's possible. I think it's possible. It's obviously like a way, way down the line thing. And I think once more teams are in the league type of situation. But I could see it totally happening. You know, having Caribbean academies, having a Japanese academy, having a Mexican academy, having, you know, it's almost kind of similar to like the Hill Academy, where all these Canadian guys are coming out of there, and that's where the best of the best from Canada go. And if you just replicate that on an even grander scale, I think it's something that could really benefit just the international development at the pro level, too. I think it's something that is very feasible in, at the earliest, I would say probably 10 years, but, you know, who knows how fast things can change and things can grow, but you want to see the development of it and it be implemented properly. But how sick would it be? It's like, oh, you know, the Redwoods signed a 16-year-old Puerto Rican player. And he's in their academy. And then, you know, when he's 20 years old, gets brought up from the academy and he's, you know, on the Redwoods roster or something like that. Like, that would be sick. And I think it would add such a fun, like, wrinkle of fandom and just like banter from a fan perspective too. It's like, oh, we signed the top international prospect, you know, to be in our academy and we're gonna watch his development. And then like you give that aspect of player development to fans too. Like being the big baseball fan that I am, like that's such a huge wrinkle in baseball is like seeing what international free agents you're able to sign when they're 16 years old, and giving these kids a chance to live out their dreams at these academies and stuff like that, and give their families like a lifetime of wealth and achievement too. Obviously, baseball has the grandiose multi-gazillion dollar industry, but that's where we see lacrosse getting to as well. It would be really cool to add that wrinkle into it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it can't happen. You know, it's just one of those things that we have to strive for and continue to call for. And so far, a lot of the things we've been asking for as fans and as media personalities covering the game of lacrosse has been happening. May not be in the time frame that we think it can happen or we want it to happen, but it's happening. So it's another one of those things that we kind of just got to sit back and wait and watch for the smart brains to figure out. Because, like, we throw things out and we have no clue how hard it is to really put that together or if it's even really feasible and, like, all that kind of thing. Let's just continue to do our thing and, for a lack of a better term, gossip about things that we want to happen or things that we see and our perception of it, and let the people who know exactly what's going on and how to handle it continue to do exactly that and handle it.
100%. So, like I said, comment in the YouTube comment section if you think, you know, professional international academies are a possibility in the future for the PLL or just lacrosse as a whole. At the professional level. But Team USA, Deej took home gold. Haudenosaunee took home the bronze. Got to give a big shout out to the boys, too, friends of the program. Austin Stotts and KJ47, Kyle Jackson, had themselves a tournament. The boys popped off. They showed out. Impressive. Doesn't even begin to describe, I think, the way both of those guys played, and seeing those guys' names, especially since they are friends of our show, especially with the amount of times KJ has come on the show. Like, it's awesome watching our guys ball out, and it's awesome to see guys who get down with us go out and succeed at the highest level of their craft time and time again. But those two guys were unbelievable this tournament.
I mean, yeah, especially Austin. You know, 30 goals, 31 goals, something like that. And
some light, no big deal.
You know, nobody's done more than 20. Nobody scored more than 21 in a world championship run. So, like, he scored some, like, one-third of their goals. Like, he was literally on a completely different level than everyone else who was out there playing lacrosse. No matter who you were not. Now, Austin Stotts is here. You're down here. Does not matter who you were. He was playing that good. Like, I don't know off the top of my head who got tournament MVP, but it better have been him. That in my opinion, even though he only got a bronze and he couldn't get his team to a gold, he was in fact the MVP.
Like, did you see he got swagger jacked, by the way, by the official World Lacrosse account on Twitter?
I did not.
They swagger jacked you word for word, bar for bar.
No way.
They tweeted, Lyle Thompson is very good at lacrosse. They took your whole fucking flow. Word for word, bar for bar.
Bro, that's pain.
Bro, how are they going to swagger jack you like that?
You think I can sue them?
That's crazy. I just saw that in, like, the write-up of the bronze, like, winning article on their website, and they embedded a tweet that said that.
And it wasn't even my tweet!
It's not even yours, it's from their official account.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
Wow. I'll have to get on Twitter and make a public announcement about this.
You gotta do a video, bro.
That's so crazy.
That's insane. They swagger jacked you bar for bar. They said, let me search Lyle Thompson tweets real quick. It was all your tweets. And they said, that's the one.
That's the one. But we not gonna say he said it. We said it. That's the one. We
That's great. They could have said quote at SCS underscore next great. That's wild, dude. I mean, that just shows your brand has gone international.
They can just quote it and be like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
They could have just screenshot one of your tweets that said that and posted it and done deal. That's crazy, dude.
But you're right. My brand's international. I've done it. I can now rest in
peace. Bro, you're like, it's the handshake meme. You, Carmen San Diego, where in the world? That's
nice
crazy.
To meet you, Carmen.
That's insane. You gotta quote that with the Soulja Boy video. Drake. He took my whole fucking flow.
Like, wow, bro.
That's I'm wild.
Hurt. I'm hurt.
That's wild.
Because I feel like we know who runs their social.
We got it.
That's pain, man. That's pain.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I just derailed the whole podcast, but for good measure.
For great measure, man. That's asinine.
That's ass a 10, ass 11, ass a 12. Shout out Stephen A. Smith.
Man, because what the fuck?
How are they going to swagger jack the coach of the goddamn year?
I'm the coach of the year! You gotta quote me. Everything I say is quotable right now.
Run me my quote.
This is crazy. They might as well just call themselves Coach of the Year now. Forget it. Let me guess. They came up with the acronym B or FEAT as well, huh? Y'all came up with that acronym too. Fun, effort, energy, teamwork. Teach your kids to play with feet.
Let me get them feet pics.
Whoa. Hold up. Nah.
They ain't free. They ain't free.
We got two meanings to feet around here. We got the acronym, and then we got play with your actual feet. Like, move them. That's it. Nothing else.
This is the most well-rested podcast we've recorded in quite some time, and it might be the most off the rails.
Just yes.
We are finally not recording post 1 a.m. Eastern time. We are off our rockers.
And maybe we should be recording that late from now on. Because what?
Oh, man.
I also feel
wow.
Like this is because...
That's the title of the episode. World Lacrosse Swagger Jack, the Coach of the Year.
I also feel like this is the lacrosse world's fault for not having enough for us to talk about. We're not structured enough in this agenda to not go on a tangent like this.
But yeah, KJ, Austin finished with 38 points, 30 goals. They popped off. Shout out to the boys. Shout out to Warren Hill, too. Like, not a traditional field goalie. He's obviously known well more for his box skills playing with Halifax in the NLL. But I was very impressed by his field skills and obviously... Goalie is the most difficult position in the pro field game to crack. But, you know, if there were 12 teams in the PLL right now, Warren Hill would at least be a backup on a squad, if not, you know, contending for a starting spot with somebody. Because obviously you got to break it down. You know, you look at the backups that are in the PLL right now. Some of them would be starters. But I think Warren Hill would give it a run for his money to be a starter if there was more teams in the PLL. I was very impressed by his,
I mean,
his performance.
It depends on who he's going against. You know, he gets lucky and goes against somebody whose name rhymes with Hemi Burner. He might have a pretty solid shot at being a starter.
I was even thinking, like, the guys, like, even if it was, like, next year, it was, like, guys retired. Oh, we're expanding to 12 teams. Like, you got to think, this is nowhere, this is all hypothetical, just based on age. Like, Brian Phipps is nearing the end of his career.
Yeah. Our boy Kel's on his way out.
Gitz is getting older.
We're already at 3.
Burnlor's
on his way. He's getting a little old.
Burnler's getting older, but I still think he's got a few good years left in him.
Yeah. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just a backup.
So and then it. You expand, and I think, like, DeLuca's a starter.
I say DeLuca's a starter.
Drake Porter's a starter.
Porter's a starter. Curse is a starter.
Curse is, and he's a starter right now.
Right. Washuda might even be a starter.
Washuda. Player pool wise, you can make the argument that JD Colarusso could start. He has started in this league before.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Warren Hill's right there. I was very impressed by his performance for being a guy that is traditionally a box goalie. Because that transition's not easy. Like, there's two guys that do it. It's Dylan Ward and Brett Dobson.
Yeah, it's a very different style of play. They have some things that can help you in both sides, but it's very different. A lot more goal to cover in field, a lot more shooting space to think about. There's just a lot of factors that you don't have to worry about per se in the box game and vice versa. So for what seems like a seamless switch for them is extremely impressive. And Warren Hill did it on, you know, the most impressive stage. When you look at playing in pool A and playing in the playoff bracket, to get a bronze and do that in what is an unfamiliar position is impressive. And he played very well. He didn't concede a bunch of goals during the tournament. So I think he maybe should take a shot at playing some field. I would assume he's playing Senior A, and that's mm-hmm. why he isn't playing PLL, because what's the point if you know you're just going to play box all year?
Yeah. And then moving to the gold medal match, Brennan O'Neill. Remember when everybody said he was a bust? You idiots. You absolute idiots. That kid, man. He's a grown-ass man. He's a grown-ass man.
5 burgers today.
As a college kid.
Burger.
Doing the things he did this entire tournament was just showcasing where this sport is going. And if you're in the PLL, you should be scared, because Brennan O'Neill is coming. And whatever team ends up with that number one pick, you are one lucky ass franchise, because that kid is going to be a superstar. And not that we didn't know this already, but for him to do that on the national stage and the international stage, to perform with that much poise and just confidence, just shows you the type of player he is.
I mean, that kid's special. I think I've tweeted that a handful of times already. He's just a different kind of kid.
Did World Lacrosse tweet that too?
They probably will. So let's be on the lookout for it. He's so smart. Like, I think that's what impresses me the most about him, is he is so smart. he's a kid who knows how to use his speed when he needs to, where to take the shot, how to take the shot, where to place the shot, when to bully dodge someone and use his strength. There's so much that just everything about him is just good when it comes to the game of lacrosse. I'm just so excited to see what he does with Duke next year. Like, everybody talks about like the vengeance tour that the Cavs and Notre Dame went on this year. What about this Duke team that's coming back next year? A lot of those guys were not seniors. And even if they were, a lot of those guys had COVID years. So a lot of that team is coming back.
And they have a chip on their shoulder of being like, oh, they cheated to get there because there was no replay. And
yeah. And then you have not only Brendan O'Neill, who just went nuclear in the gold medal match against Canada, but he played against Dyson Williams, who's also in that same attack line.
Who's going to be the number one overall pick in the NLL this coming fall.
They're both now fueled after playing so well. They're both their team's leading goal scorers. They both played so well in the World Championships. They're coming back to college now to play together. That team's going to be scary. The only team that I think could possibly beat them is obviously my boys up here in Ann Arbor. I'm never going to count them out of any game. And then Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is I will also say – don't sleep on the team that is coached by the head coach of the Haudenosaunee national team.
Of course, you can't count out Virginia.
Because if he brings the Bucky to the college game, good grief.
Bro was dripped in the Bucky. And he still had the polo unbuttoned so that the chest hairs were popping. I was like, Lars,
menace. Drip. My boy was summertime fine. San Diego sunshine ready.
Like, what's up?
Yeah, Brendan O'Neill was damn impressive. Rob Pinnell, all-time, was it points or goals?
Points.
All-time points leader. Just a crazy impressive tournament by Team USA. To be expected, loaded roster. Would you say this roster was more loaded talent-wise than 2018? How would you compare them, like, pound for pound? Obviously, they're, like, different styles of team, in a sense, but...
It's tough. Like, because, one, they're so... They were constructed so differently, but also, like, when you look at the young talent, like the newer talent that's only been around for, you know, the World Games and now, or, you know, the last couple of years and now, like, basically who's joined Team USA since the last World Championships.
So I got the rosters here.
I think the young talent now is way better than the young talent that was there in 2018.
I have the 2018 team here for you that I can rattle off.
Please. So
2018 attack group, Ryan Brown, Dog, Marcus Holman, Rob Pinnell, Jordan Wolf, and then they have two guys listed as like almost hybrids with attack and midfield being Ned Crotty and Matt Danowski. And then listed as your true midfielders, John Haas, Paul Rabel, Tom Schreiber, Drew Snyder. And then Trevor and Greg are your face-off athletes. Your short stick D-middies, Jake Bernhardt, Steve DiNapoli, Kevin Unterstein. LSM's Joel White, Michael Earhart. And then your defense, Jesse Bernhardt, Tucker Durkin, Joe Fletcher, John Galloway, and Jack Kelly are your goalies.
I got to go now. Like, look at D. You got Matt Dunn, Jack, Earhart,
Jesse,
JT, Gross,
Jake Richard at short stick, Terry
Danny
at
Logan,
short stick,
Terry
Logan, Zach Goodrich,
and Zach Goodrich, four, all just
and
beast.
Liam Burns at
and
LSM.
Then you have Liam Burns at LSM as well, and then you got TD and Trevor at face-off athletes. Midfield was Sowers, O'Neill,
Conrad. Charlie was listed as attack slash midfield. So was
Charlie Bertrand. O'Neill. Yeah, and Charlie Bertrand. I feel like I'm missing someone.
Brennan O'Neill.
I said him already.
Was attack midfield. Oh,
Connor Kelly. Yep. That's why, because he didn't play today. That's why I missed him in the brain.
And then
Tom Schreiber, which is a given. And then down low, you had Rambo.
Jack Rowlett was also on the defense. I don't think we said him.
I said Jack.
Oh, okay.
Kieran.
Yeah, and Rambo, Kieran, RP3.
And I think that was it. Right now.
Sowers and Charlie and Brennan were all listed as attackmen as well.
Yep. So.
And then Jack Kelly and Blaze.
This was by far. I won't say by far because those guys before some legends and they're good, but like
and a lot of returning guys too. You know, RP3. Mm-hmm. You have Jack Kelly coming back. You have Schreiber coming back. Earhart, Trevor,
Jack
Jesse
Kelly.
Bernhard.
So yeah, there's some returning, but like that's what I mentioned is this new set of guys is better than the set of guys that these returners were with in 2018.
Yeah.
And I think it showed because there were so many teams, that got better, but then they just couldn't get better than America either, or Canada for that matter. Haudenosaunee stepped up this year and got better as well. Like, it seemed like everybody in Pool A got better but England. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll post a poll.
We've been on that with England since 1776.
And even before then. Fuck you and the click you claim.
Scream it. I think the only thing we'd have really lost to them since then is something stupid like soccer.
We even tied them in the World Cup this year. So
see? They don't want no smoke.
Nope. The only smoke they see is when there's a new pope. And that's next door. That's not even in their city.
Big gang.
Speaking of England, last thing I think we should touch on is the thing that took lacrosse Twitter before Twitter broke by storm. First and foremost, glad to see the Team Japan player, I'm blanking on the name, is okay. But I saw a lot of people say, and I kind of agree with it, the England player should be kicked off the national team.
Like, I think he will be.
There's no room for that. You mentioned before we started recording, too, like he had just come out of the box for a prior penalty, and England is not foreign to this type of behavior on the international level because it was either 2017 or 2018. They had a similar instance where they were going for somebody's knee. Like, there's no place for that. It's disrespectful to the game. It's disrespectful to your opponent. It's disgusting behavior. And should not be tolerated. And like, I think there should be an example set by either the World Lacrosse Commission or whatever they go by, and by Team England. Like, that guy should be just done. Like, go back to your men's league on the pitch and go eat your fucking beans and all hail the queen shit and get the fuck off your national team, because fuck that guy.
I'm screaming, bro. I'm just screaming. That was absolutely hilarious. But I agree. The there's no place for it in the game. It was a very bad way for both of them to end, their tournament. You know, England didn't have necessarily the world championships that they wanted to have, but there were some very bright spots that I felt that they could have held on to before this, but this kind of just tainted the whole experience for them. Japan still had a really good championships. They can still look at this in a very positive manner. They left it on a winning note and everything, but this still does kind of tamper that a little bit and kind of put a damper on it, because it's like, yeah, we won and you know, but look at what necessarily, not necessarily the cost of it, but look at what happened in the process, and that affects you a little bit, and it changes the way you look at things. But I think Japan will overall not be too worried about that, and they'll be on the up and up, so I'm cool with that. But like, I think this really takes away from the best part about England's championships this year, was Scarpello having a great time and helping both of them in that matter, and helping their country continue to grow in lacrosse, both Christian outplaying his dad on the sidelines, and then Goldsmith. Respect the specs or what? I mean, the guy was out there in actual just regular glasses on his face, giving it to dudes. And I think that was like one of the best stories of the championships. It's like every time he scored, they zoomed in on his face. You could see that he was wearing regular glasses. And I thought it was so funny. It's like, they're like, yeah, you're out there getting deuced on by homie who can't even see. And like, that's just what we should be looking at England for. It's like the positive manners, but it's all going to get, you know, pushed to the wayside for the way things ended. And it was really just one player. So I do hope that he gets very serious disciplinary action and hopefully doesn't return, at least for the next games. Mm-hmm. I see if, you know, they feel like the next games is enough, and I don't get to make that decision, but I do think the next games is at least enough in my opinion. Because
I mean, losing, depending on how old he is too, like 8 years, like he's done potentially.
Right. He could potentially be done, or it's just like losing the opportunity to play for your country after you did before may change his complete outlook on the entire situation. It may make him understand why it was a big deal, why he shouldn't have done it, and all those kind of things. Like, I don't want, you know, anybody to forever be removed away from the game. That's not what any of this stuff is about. You know, I don't want him to turn bitter because he can't play or whatever, but
you got to set an example.
Such. Yeah, consequences are such.
But luckily, you know, Team Japan's players seemingly going to be okay, which is number one first and foremost concern you have when you see something like that. So wishing a speedy recovery there on all fronts. But Deej from World Lacrosse Championship, shout out to Team USA. Also shout out to Blaze. I got to put this out there too. Blaze always gets, you know, for all the best reasons, gets regarded as the best player on the planet for good reason across the board. I love Joe Keegan's tweet too, comparing Blaze to Shohei Ohtani earlier this week, where somebody was like, someone explain this to me in NBA terms, because what Shohei is doing is ridiculous, because Shohei's leading the league in home runs, and he's leading the league in opponent batting average and crazy strikeouts. Like, he's having an unbelievable year that we've never seen before in Major League Baseball. And somebody said, it's like if Patrick Mahomes played quarterback and elite corner defensively. And Joe said, it's like somebody playing elite field goalie and then being an all-world forward in the box game. Which is so true. Because we've never seen anybody really do what Blaze does either. And he's very Shohei-esque, where he is so elite at playing goalie, which is effectively what Shohei is pitching wise. Shohei on the mound is what Blaze is in cage. And then you throw in Shohei can just hit the ever living hell out of the ball at the plate when he's batting, is what Blaze does when he's scoring goals and assisting goals in the NLL. Now Blaze has a gold medal in his trophy case as well. Just adding more and more to why he's the best player on the planet. Couldn't be more proud of the boy. He has been somebody who has supported myself from the first day I met him. He supported this podcast from day one. And to see Blaze, you know, get crowned a champion at the international level is very, very cool. Now he's got, you know, a PLL championship. He's got a gold medal in his trophy case. And I'm proud of the homie, proud of all the homies that, you know, participated in the championship this past, whatever, 10 days it was, and showed out, because that's the coolest part of us getting to do this too, is like linking and connecting with so many guys that when we get to watch them compete on the highest stage, whether it's the NLL, the PLL, international level, hopefully, you know, in 2028, the Olympics, like, those are our guys. Like, we consider them friends. They are homies. They're friends of the show. Like, they are the people who have helped get us to where we are and be at the level we are as a podcast. So to see them perform at their craft at the highest level and achieve, like, that ultimate goal is one of the coolest things. So, like, shout out to Trevor. Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Blaze. Kieran McArdle. You know, the list goes on and on. Of everybody that's been on this show, Ryan Tarafanko, that supports us and gets down with us. It's really cool to see them get to the top of the mountain.
I mean, I'm just happy to be here. No. It is in fact awesome to watch them do what they love to do at the highest level. And for them to understand that we enjoy that and to pour back into us is huge. You know, they understand it's an ebb and flow and that they get to continue to do what they do because we do what we do and vice versa. So that's one of the coolest things. Like you said, it's just building that relationship and watching them ball and then them giving us good answers or just good conversation to continue to spitball with later on. So I love being able to do the things I do with the game of lacrosse.
100%. So shout out to Team USA and everybody that participated in the World Lacrosse Men's Championship these past 10 days, because you showed out and put on one hell of a product for the world to see. Before we keep it pushing, Deej, let's talk to our friends about Kenwood Beer, who just did a whole full-fledged rebrand. The new Kenny cans, gold tops, the new Kenny merch. They got Kenny beach towels available now in the store. Looking nice, looking fine. The new shirts are amazing. I got my Kenny golf club shirt that looks so sick. They got the Kenny hockey club shirts and the Kenny softball league shirts. All new logo, all new look. Same great taste of Kenwood beer. Go to kenwoodbeer.com. Use the Kenny tracker. See who has the all-new and improved Kenwood beer on tap in the Philadelphia area. You can buy it at your local Philadelphia area liquor store. Pretty soon, 6-packs coming, 15-packs coming. All-new Kenny rebrand looks amazing. Check it out at their website, kenwoodbeer.com. Got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. We haven't talked about the PLL All-Star Game format since it was announced, but it's old versus young. Which I am a big fan of. I like this. I think it is potentially a precursor for things to come when it comes to All-Star, hopefully one day weekend with the PLL. I think this is smart to showcase the in their prime talent versus the up and coming talent. And I hope one day when it is, like a full-blown weekend, that we will have this game on a Saturday night going into the actual All-Star game as well, where it'll be like the NBA All-Star game, where it's, you know, first year versus second year type thing. To be on the young squad, you have to have 3 or less years of professional experience. And then, obviously, everybody on the old squad is above that. Your thoughts, though, Deej, on the format and where you think this could potentially lead to in the future? Do you think this is a precursor of kind of an NBA All-Star Weekend, MLB All-Star Weekend, or is this just another format test for the PLL?
That's the thing. None of us know. We literally don't know. It maybe a little bit of both. Maybe they want to test out kind of the idea of having other kinds of games other than just the All-Star game, and if people actually want to show up to that kind of event and how they perceive it, if it's enjoyable, if it's a good game. But then also just expanding and looking at different activities to have to make it a weekend. So it may not be necessarily one or the other. It may be a little bit of both. I definitely like the idea, though. I think it's, you know, it's something different. I don't think it will stay as the main game. I think there's some value in simply putting the best out against the best, if that makes complete sense, in terms of just like jumbling it up and giving a chance for a Jeff Teat to be on the same team as Ryder Garnsey. Like, people would love to see that. So I don't think the base All-Star template of like how you do All-Star games in most sports will go away. I think this is just something they may try for a few years to see if it's something they can add to eventually make an All-Star weekend, because I don't see them continuing on with All-Star Day as they have it.
Yeah, I like the format. I think it's going to be very fun as a game, like to see the old heads go up against the young and upcoming squad. I know a lot of people are like, how's Chase Frazier, all the young guns? He didn't get into the PLL until 2021. This is his third year, so he makes it.
And he wasn't playing MLL or anything before that. So.
Right. I'm excited. I think this is probably best format-wise we've had. Like, the draft thing, I think, in all All-Star games gets stale and old. Where, like, it works, like, one or two times, and then you gotta find something new. I think this is a good spin on things, and we'll like make the All-Star game more fun, more entertaining, because like last year you had the draft and it was like very much like the game was over after the first quarter, even though they were testing things in different quarters and stuff like that. I like this concept. I think it's gonna be very fun. I think Louisville is in for a good All-Star game, and I think that's what we strive for. Like, All-Star games get a bad rap, obviously, because it's like, who's actually trying this, that, and the third. I think this is a good format that's going to produce a good product, and I think it'll be the best All-Star game we've gotten since the first one.
Yeah, because I think they're going to actually try. I don't think the old guys...
There's a lot of bragging rights on the line.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. The old guys do not want to get beat by the young guys, and the young guys would love nothing more than to walk around their practices and talk about how they beat, you know, the best guys in the All-Star game. Like, there's actually kind of some weight behind this, other than, you know, the bonuses and stuff that they got in the past. Like, the bonuses are the bonuses. Like, after a while, players aren't necessarily looking at them like that, but those bragging rights and like that kind of stuff are important. So for them to kind of have this inherited built-in old versus new, and that having weight, like, veterans hate losing to young guys because it feels like you're getting pushed out and they're losing it and they don't have it anymore and they have to hang it up soon. Like, that's what that means. And young guys want nothing more than to just beat the older guys and show that they're good enough to hang. Like, it's just an inherent sports thing that goes back to elementary school, really, and when you first start playing. So it's it definitely has benefit to be very, very good for not even just the PLL, but the sport in general.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's been some changes to the skills competition, too, for the goalie challenge, which I think will be very fun. And I'm intrigued to just see who's going to be participating in the skills competitions, because those are always fun. But we haven't gotten a chance to talk about the All-Star game format and everything like that since it was announced. So I figured we'd touch on that there. We'll wrap with Squire Sixes. It's brought to you by our energy partners over at W Energy. It's been a while since we talked about them. But they are still around. They're still the best in the game. It's all clean energy, jitterless, crash-free. Deej, when you were here to go into college championship and to Albany, you tried Dubby for the first time, and you can confirm for the people, you did not feel jittery and you did not crash.
I did not. Neither of those things were true for me. No jitters, no crash. I felt great the entire time. I had energy, but it was good energy. It wasn't extra, and it wasn't bouncy. It was just like, hey, whatever you want to do right now, you can do.
And it just tastes good. Like, that's the best part, in my opinion, is like, yes, you're getting your energy and everything. The flavors are just so delicious. I can't get enough of Dubby. I love them. They have been awesome partners since we partnered with them. They've got a lot of stuff in the works. They just started launching partner shakers, too. Hopefully one day we can be involved in that. You guys can go to dubby.gg and use code underground for 10% off any and all orders. It's the most effective and direct way, along with merch, to support us. It's a direct way to do it when you use our code underground at dubby.gg for the best energy in the game. Clean up your energy game with Dubby Energy. Shout out to our partners over at Dubby. We got Esquire Sixes on deck. You know, Snapdragon Stadium has been all over the lacrosse world and has been heralded as an awesome venue for outdoor games lately. Obviously, we had the outdoor NLL game there, and then we had World Lacrosse Championship there. So Deej and I are going to do our Squire Sixes of best stadiums. Now, to preface this does not include arenas because we felt that arenas and stadiums were two different entities. So places like the Wells Fargo Center, Red Rocks, Little Caesars, they will not be included on this list. This is stadiums that have an outdoor presence to them, if you will. So Deej, I believe I went first last time. So you get the first go at best stadiums.
Way too nice. Thank you. But I'm going to start off with the best and only the best. And the one that is undoubtedly number one, no matter what you have, is number one. I think so many people will agree with me. And even if not, it's okay because we're delusional up here. It's definitely the Big House.
That is not where I thought you were going, but okay.
Oh, that one's number two. That one's number two.
That is not where I thought you were going. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even a college sports fan, and I know, like, how crazy that place gets and how fun of an atmosphere it is, so makes sense. Plus, you get your Michigan fandom in there. My first pick, I got to go with it. It's not the traditional meshing of sports here, being this is a lacrosse podcast, but you've been to this stadium, Deej, and I think you can attest it's a beautiful venue. It's my favorite, hands down. No matter anywhere I go, I still compare everything to it, and sure, it's my home base for this sport, but it's my favorite stadium. It's Citizens Bank Park, the Philly Stadium. Beautiful venue. The fact that place was built in 2004 and is still like that pristine is awesome. Like, it still like it feels like it's brand new while being built 2 decades ago. So much to do there. There's not a bad seat in the house. If you're a baseball fan, you saw how electric it gets during postseason baseball this past fall. Citizens Bank Park is electric. It's an environment that is unlike any other in baseball. Plus, also can host concerts, and they do a great job of that as well. To add a little flair, a little cherry on top to the amenities that is Citizens Bank Park. So I'm gonna go CBP with my number one pick.
I saw that coming, kind of.
Already sorry, number two going? For you. I'll okay. Let you go next. Number two.
Lambeau.
There it no is. Question. That's what I thought you were going with, number one.
Yeah. I figured, but I don't think Lambo does not trump the big house. That place is crazy. It's the third biggest stadium in the world. And it literally is insane on game days.
My next pick here, let's see. I'm gonna keep it in the Philly space. You've also been there now, Deej. Obviously not for football, but you got a taste of it. Lincoln Financial Field, another amazing venue, another one that it's like, how was this built 2 decades ago and it's still this awesome? Again, no bad seat in the house. Can host multiple sports, can host concerts. Kevin Hart has sold it out, so it's like, it's a place that has stature and pedigree. Lincoln Financial Field is a venue that I recommend anybody going to, and especially if you've never been there for college lacrosse championship, it's a great venue to go to and get an experience at an NFL stadium for super cheap. So I'm going with the Link for my second pick.
Also could have seen that coming.
There's our homerism picks out of the way.
Right? Yeah. That's exactly what just happened. The third, I got to go OG, super simple, just some of the most iconic matchups have happened here in multiple kinds of sports, Coliseum. I think that one was a given to be on one of our lists.
Now, are we talking the Oakland Coliseum? Are we talking the LA Coliseum, or are we talking the Paisan Coliseum?
You know,
ancient Rome.
You know we're not talking Oakland. I don't know much about the ancient Rome. Paisan.
It's where gladiators were forged. I saw somebody say that's where, because apparently they are working on potentially having that Elon versus Zuckerberg fight at the Coliseum. Somebody said if that's the case, they need to abide by Coliseum rules and only one leaves.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Please sign me up for front row tickets. But no, I was definitely mentioning the LA Coliseum.
I like the pick. My next one, I am going to go with another baseball stadium. We've both been there together. I got a tour of this stadium. It's history. It's a great venue. Like when you walk in, you kind of feel the history about it too. I got to go with Fenway. Fenway was awesome. Great place to take in a game. The vibes were awesome. The history behind it. Fenway Park is top notch.
This next one I haven't been to yet, but every time I see it on TV, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, I got to go to a game there. So don't ask me why I haven't been to a game yet. Because it's really only a 2-hour drive away from me, so I definitely should have gone to a game there by now. But this field, it's perfect location. It's beautiful in downtown of a city, but also overlooks a lake, and it's just fantastic. Great views. It's one of those things where it's like one of those stadiums where there's only stands on one side, then you get the view on the other, and it's just immaculate. I would love to play a game. I would love to just practice there. Just give me a shoot around session on this field, and I will be the happiest person on the planet. It is Lanny and Sharon Martin Stadium. It is where the Northwestern Wildcats women's lacrosse team plays. It literally overlooks Lake Michigan right in the back, and it's absolutely beautiful.
I like it. I like that we both have lacrosse-specific stadiums on our list. I'm not going to go with mine just yet.
I hope we don't have the same one. I think because I haven't. The rest of mine are lacrosse specific. So
I am going to inject a little homerism, but I haven't experienced it from a homerism standpoint yet, and it's been electric for lacrosse. It is the city of champions. It is all roads lead to Philadelphia. Subaru Park. The Sub is awesome. You and I have obviously been there for three PLL events, two championships. I've been there for, you've been there for a semi and a championship. Just a beautiful venue right on the water, bridge in the background. The seating arrangements are top notch. And from every Union game photo and video, the Sons of Ben there, Subaru Park is just an amazing venue. I am pushing myself to get to a match this year for the Union at the Sub, so I can finally say that I've been there for a game. But even just being there for the PLL, like, the atmosphere is top notch. The scenery is amazing. It's like a photo perfect venue from the press box. And we've got some awesome memories there as well. So Subaru Park is my number four.
I like that pick a lot. Subaru's dope. Subaru's dope. One of the better stadiums I've been to. This next one is one I have not been to, but it's very significant to the sport of lacrosse on all kinds of levels, from an international level to a pro and college level. I can't wait to go once I do eventually get the time to find the time to go to a game there. But it's Homewood.
Damn, that's a good one.
That's
a great one.
It's small atmosphere. It's great, but like so many significant games have happened.
Feel the history when you walk into that place.
Yeah. Like, and I haven't even been able to walk in yet, so I can only imagine.
Which, fun fact, if you've made it this far in the episode, you'll learn this. And I don't know if I've ever brought this up on the pod, but in 2019, the logo you see for the Outside the Box podcast was created in the Homewood Field press box. The Homewood has some big-time significance to this podcast because our logo was forged there. I love Homewood. Like, that is, like, the weekend that when I see when it is, I'm just stoked. Because, like, you feel like we've been to a few stadiums where, like, you're on the field and you feel that the atmosphere, like, swallow you. Homewood is that, and then 100x. It's just an unbelievable atmosphere, and like the history just envelops you there. I love Homewood. That's a fantastic pick, and I'm pissed I didn't take it.
You should have knew better than that.
My next pick is going to be similar, not as historic. But pretty, pretty cool. And I think it's a venue that's only going to get better and better as time goes on and people experience it. We were just there. Ohio State's new lacrosse stadium was awesome. I think even though it's new, like the atmosphere that was there and just the fans being on top of the action and everything. I knew you were going to make this face, so it's fine. But you know everything I'm saying is true, so that's the funniest part. That venue with time is going to be like a destination type of spot, and I'm excited to see like where the PLL potentially takes it if they end up playing there more. And I think it's going to be one of those destination spots if you're a lacrosse fan to go watch a game there, because it was top notch for a brand new facility. You can't even front.
Listen, I said all I had to say already. So if they want to go and hear what I had to say about that, they can go listen to the Columbus episode. I don't have to pander to that place anymore, so I'm not going to do it.
But you can agree with you can just say, I agree with what I just said. Without even saying it, you can just say, you're right. Am I right? Your face says it all. You're smiling through the pain because you know how right I am.
Listen, bro. It's football season again. I'm almost with
him. Don't hit me. It is July. Do not rush my summer. Do not rush my summer.
I said what I had to say about them.
DJ knows I'm right. Your next pick, DJ.
Wow. I forgot. Math is hard, y'all. Definitely only put 5 down for my list and started putting the rest of my honorable mentions. But that's okay, because I had honorable mentions. This one is not lacrosse related, but it's Wrigley. I've only been to Wrigley once.
I have that on my list too.
But wow, what a place. Like, literally, what a place. Wrigley is just, it's different.
I had that on my list. I've never been there. It's still on the bucket list. But yeah, good one. Real good one. My last pick, I am going to rock out with... I've never been there. I'm going to go lacrosse specific again. They just announced a nice little announcement for it. University of Denver. I got to go UD. Throwback weekend being like the staple of Denver is pretty, pretty cool.
Barton Stadium.
I got to go UD for my last pick there.
I had Barton Stadium in my honorable mentions. Also had Dorrance Field in my honorable mentions. That's North Carolina Stadium where they play lacrosse specific.
I had Fairfield in my honorable mention.
Very nice facility.
I had Albany in my honorable mention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
Other non-lacrosse specific, I was just there. Great American Ballpark, the Cincinnati Reds. Awesome stadium. Like, the view was spectacular. It's right on the rivers. Like, you see everything when you're sitting behind home plate, too. And it's just such a great view. Atmosphere was great because the Reds are good right now. Love the vibe there. Coors Field. Coors Field is great in Colorado. Camden Yards, the Orioles Stadium, is an awesome, awesome venue.
Keyworth Stadium. It's...
it is. You just sounded like you had an accent trying to pronounce Key West. Y'all ever been to Key Worst?
Key Worth. It's a high school football, soccer, / USL soccer stadium. It's where Detroit City plays, and it's actually electric. It's just in the middle of a neighborhood. Like, I remember the first time going with my buddy, we were walking like through this neighborhood, and then bam, like the stadium was just there, and I was like, oh, all right, we're here. Like, I thought we still had a little ways to go because we were walking through a neighborhood, and it's just like, bam, right there, just goes into this neighborhood. But like, it's super like intimate. You're there. You're kind of on top of everything. Still a great view of like sunsets and stuff. Just a phenomenal stadium. Absolutely.
I had a couple international stadiums on my list that I've never been to. Old Trafford, Manchester United's stadium, and then Anfield where Liverpool plays, two iconic stadiums in England. I had Wrigley on my list. I had Mercedes-Benz Stadium, even though it's a dome, still a stadium that has the retractable dome for a number of reasons that I picked that one. I also had Oracle, which is the San Francisco Giants stadium. McCovey Cove being out there, the fog, the giant Coca-Cola statue that's out in left field. Like, it's just a cool venue. PNC Park, the Pirates Stadium. I've driven by it, never been to a game there, but having the bridges right there and you can kind of walk to the stadium using the bridges is such a cool feature. And then I also had Gillette.
Gillette ain't bad. I think it deserves an honorable mention spot. It's a
it's also a little special to us.
I think some people would say Mile High for the Broncos. That's an iconic spot. Candlestick back in the day, the 49ers. A lot of good stadiums out there. I'm sure we're missing some. So sound off in the YouTube comment section. Let us know your top stadiums. We want to hear from you guys. Tweet at us. DM us on Instagram. Comment on TikTok your top stadiums, because we want to hear the ones we potentially missed. So shout out Colin Squire. Shout out Snapdragon. That's a stadium I'd love to go to as well. If they do more outdoor like NLL games there, just games in general, I would love to go there because it just looks awesome on TV. That's all we got for you guys this week. Kind of a simple week. We bantered. We still gave you guys a traditional episode length, even though there's not a lot to talk about. But next week we're back. PLL action. Minnesota. Can't wait to post the iconic Joe Biden clip. Minnesota! That's where the PLL is going. Excited for that. We've got some guests lined up. And if you've gotten this far in the episode, smash the like button. Comment that you made it here. We are working on a new segment that will hopefully be added from here on out, no matter who stays with the job, who doesn't. We are going to be collaborating with the PLL beat writers that you see writing articles for the league. Hopefully going to try to get one per week, if not multiple per week, on the show, thinking of a segment name for it to kind of just bridge even more us with the PLL and give you guys more insight on specific team things that are going on that they get an opportunity to talk to coaches and players about that we don't necessarily get from that aspect, and give us their insight of them kind of being dialed in on one team, their thoughts on how the team is performing, stuff like that. I'm very excited for this. It's not set in stone, but potentially just going to go in alphabetical order. Maybe a little off, but we do have someone in mind that we're going to kick it off with and then go from there. But very excited to maybe hashtag meet the beat with the PLL beat writers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it the other way, so.
It don't matter. No. No.
I didn't say it the other way.
No.
That I would have expected a pause from you.
Yeah, I would have said pause.
You would have left the recording.
Hey, I can't be seen on video with this guy anymore.
We talked about feet, we talked about beat, and we talked about meat. That's the hashtag on YouTube. Hashtag feet meat beat. This is the horniest episode of OTB all time.
That's you, bro. I've been chilling.
You brought up feet. Whatever you're into. Whatever you're into. We don't kink shame on this podcast.
It was an acronym. I am.
That's what they all say. It all starts as an acronym.
Not into feet.
Hey, we don't kink shame. It's okay. This is a safe space.
No. Please kink shame me for that. Feet are nasty. We don't mess with those. Not okay.
I'm letting our listeners know. This is a safe space. If you're into that, we're not judging.
No, I just won't engage.
That's where DJ won't handshake you. That's what we call a callback.
You on to something there.
Make sure you guys are following us on the socials. That's Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at OTBLaxPod. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311. You can follow me on TikTok as well at KBUnderground. Do you want the people following you on the TikTok, Deej?
Sure. Tell them they can follow me on the TikTok. Y'all can follow me at, hold on, I don't even know what my TikTok. That man Deej. Wow.
There it is.
I
follow him on the talk.
This is the last time I told you somebody my TikTok.
Yeah, we're going to try to build our TikTok presence a bit. So go follow us there. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way for helping this show continue to grow. Helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia, our network, where all of our podcasts are home to. And it helps improve hashtag up to something season, because we are indeed up to something here at Underground Sports Philadelphia that you are not going to want to miss when summer 2024 rolls around. And be sure to subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show, every show on our network, live streams, full video content just goes on our YouTube channel. That's where it lives, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. We're at 516 subscribers right now, trying to get to 600 by the end of July. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, 1,000 before DJ's birthday. If it doesn't get there, something bad will happen. And we don't want anything bad to happen, okay? You understand that? We don't want anything bad to happen. So go subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend, and let's get to 1K. Hashtag DJ1K. In the YouTube comment section, if you heard that. That's the push there from OTB Nation. Get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off any and all merch orders. And this has been episode number 281 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube and now on TikTok, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. We'll be back next week talking PLL Minnesota preview. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here, and we are signing off. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.